this color seems driving me wild. In that moment, I felt like I'm seeing through the eyes of a child. The time went for us, it fades away so fast. And soon mistakes will pass. So make these moments last. See to reach the heights of the outline. Seize the gold mine when the sun shines. Realize time is a precious gift. So make these moments last. I felt time flies like a gem reflection in my eyes. So blind, I turned in home and sit fast through fire. Cause time won't wait for us, it fades away so fast. It soon stays for times. So we explore the past. See to reach the heights of the Alpine. Seize the gold mine when the sun shines. Realize time is precious gift. So make these moments last. See to reach the heights of the Alpine. Seize the gold mine when the sun shines. Realize time is precious gift. So make these moments last.
Don't you miss traveling? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Are In This Together, a Dearborn blog. We Are In This Together is a non-scripted live, non-topic podcast by Dearborn blog, hosted by to have conversations that define oral history. Of our lives, human lives, during the COVID-19 pandemic, known as the coronavirus pandemic. This is personal stories of our lives during this unprecedented social isolation measures in a globalized world. At the end of the broadcast, we will ask our guest for a few recommendations and some special questions that are posed by other guests. Hanan Yahya, welcome to We Are In This Together.
Hi, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hanan Yahya is a first-generation Yemeni-American raised in Detroit. She graduated from University of Michigan in 2016, where she studied urban studies and entrepreneurship. She currently works as the community and policy coordinator for Detroit City Council member Raquel Castaneda Lopez. In her current position, she serves as the liaison between the City Council and the District 6 community, building the capacity of community groups and leaders to address neighborhood challenges and advocate for policy changes. Building a Detroit where every voice is valued is the vision of Team Rocky. The team works with a guiding mission to promote a just and thriving Detroit through community advocacy, public service, and inclusive policy. Hanan thrives in innovative organizations and is passionate about social entrepreneurship and public service. She invests her free time exploring the world, building socially innovative projects, and fostering her self-development. Welcome, Hanan. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hanan is also a personal friend. And we actually, Dearborn Blog was established with the help of Hanan Yahya. So how are you feeling?
Today has been good. I think it depends on the day, but today I was feeling good. Got a lot of work done. Which is not a reflection of whether I'm successful or not, but you know, it's interesting. Today has been good. I'm okay. How are you?
Good. I don't know. Lost the feeling of days. They all kind of merged into one feeling.
Yeah.
Am I getting the feedback from my mic or yours? Is there?
I'll mute myself when you're speaking.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it's you, but anyway. I don't hear it anymore, so it's probably that. You don't have to though, because you know you want to cut me off sometimes.
Yeah, trust me.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, the days kind of merge together and they have the same feeling. We are in spring break right now, so I don't have work per se, and I'm spending more time reading. I wanted, like, there is this book I'm reading and I wanted to finish it today because I was supposed to finish it yesterday. And I wanted to just finish it today. So I've been reading. I've read from like 10 a.m. till about 5 p.m. But, you know, with a lot of cheating, right?
Yeah.
Meals and drinks and WhatsApp and Facebook. And, you know, we have to feed the addiction. But hopefully I'll finish it by tomorrow. I couldn't finish it today. And I'm reading The 100 Years War on Palestine by Rashid Al-Khalidi, a new book. He was a guest in our Free Thinking Society before the apocalypse. And it's a good book. It really talks about the history of Palestine, 1917 to 2017. In details, from a person who's an insider, really. Insider in all perspectives. Insider as a Palestinian, as a civilian, as a professor, as an academic, as part of the political process, etc. So that's how I feel. Just for history, today is April 7, 2020, and the confirmed cases of coronavirus in Michigan is 18,970 cases, with 845 deaths, total deaths, and a lot of recoveries, and a lot of people who had it and they never don't know, and they're having fun. So good for them. Tell me how your feelings changed over the days. Like, what were you feeling when this first started, and how did this change till today?
I'll be very honest with you. I've always been the type of person who's kind of in their own imagination, just constantly in another world, you know, I don't know if you would call it a daze. So I've never really had I've never been that type of person like that's very anal about their time. You know, I'm passionate about getting things done and working around my energy and things like that, but I'm very emotion, energy driven. That's just who I've always been. And so my understanding of time and if you asked me this 2 months ago, I wouldn't know like what day it is and tell you, you know, this is how many days left. So I've just never been that person. So it has changed a little bit. Like I know that I'm still, that we're like in this very different time. I'm just, part of how I deal with things is detaching. And so I'm detached right now and I'm like just appreciating the detachment. That's all I'm doing. I'm not looking into it critically. I'm not, you know, overstressing. I did over the past weekend, but that's because I had some like really serious things to think about. But I immediately detached because that's just how I cope and like take advantage of the time that I'm allowed. Yeah. It's very different. It's probably not the same response that you hear from a lot of people who are like freaking out. For me, it's just like, okay, cool. You know, let's just go with the, I've always been like the go with the flow, fluid kind of person. So
Yeah, I've known you for a long time. You've always been a positive person who doesn't get really affected by what's going on outside in terms of controlling your mood. You're good at isolating the events outside from affecting how you want your day to be. So this is kind of the biggest challenge of your life, to keep that strong habit or strong character that you have. So you're working full time. Did your work didn't get affected? You're working remotely.
Yeah. So we're a public elected office, and so we're a part of the city government in Detroit. And as you know, like the highest number of cases and the seriousness of the issue is hitting Detroit the hardest. And so we are working remotely, but we are working just as hard as we would have in our offices. You know, we have been like a lot more, you know, cognizant of like the impact of this on our personal lives. And so, you know, we're being given time off next week, for example, an entire week. You probably saw that was lightning. Noted. April storms bring May flowers. Anyway, so so we're very hardworking. We're like kind of first responders in terms of information sharing. So there's like healthcare first responders, but then there's first responders as it relates to city services, state services, making sure, you know, things, people have access to the information. We've always had that challenge in a city like Detroit, in a city as large and as impoverished. And so that's kind of what we've been doing. I've been working regularly from like a general 8 to 4, 9 to 5, 10 to 6 kind of schedule. And so that's how it's been.
And how many people do you see? Because every person has this inner circle that are, you know, that are approved to be to visit and to be seen. How many people are in your inner circle?
So I live alone, mm-hmm. and I live down the street from my family. And so in the first 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half actually, I was staying with my mom. And, you know, I just thought it was like convenient and stuff. But then I quickly realized that things are getting much worse. And I spend a lot of time outdoors. And I was both my parents have, you know, compromised immune systems and things like that. And so I didn't want to take any chances. And I wanted to be productive, to be frank. So I stay back in my apartment. And so besides my cat and maybe one of my sisters, there's no one else that I interact with. That's it, my cat and my sister. I've always been someone who's had a very small circle. You know, I look like I'm very social, but actually my circle is very small. Like my best friend is in Scotland. And so that's who I speak to. But that's it, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of, I know you're very outdoorsy. How is any effect on that?
If anything, I have become more outdoorsy, and I am so appreciative of this time. And I know, and I want to acknowledge that people are all struggling. You know, my father was sick this past weekend. Like, it's a real thing, but also it's provided me with an opportunity to like just take advantage of being outdoors and like not interacting with a lot of humans. I'm one of those people who's just like, I'd rather stay away from people and be in my own bubble and do my own thing. And so you go to a park, you only see a handful of people. And when you do, you're far away from each other. So it's the perfect thing. You just say hello, you keep walking. So I just bought some kayaks, and it's something I've always wanted to do and I've been planning for a long time. But I made the move recently and I did it because this is the perfect time for it. So
is Belle Isle open?
Belle Isle's open. Yeah, most parks are open.
And kayaking is allowed?
It is. If you provide me your own material, you're not going through an agency. Yeah, the water is public. So,
and the Detroit Riverfront is open.
Yes. You notice, like on a lot of playgrounds, there's like caution tape on the playground, mm-hmm. and things that can that people can touch and take the virus. But besides that, everything's open.
Yeah. When was the last time you were in Detroit Riverfront?
I was in Belle Isle yesterday.
Or was it busy?
Actually, surprisingly, yes. And I heard some comments as I was walking around a young lady was having a conversation with someone, which was really cute. She had come up to an older man, and he was reading a book on a bench facing the beautiful view of the riverfront from Belle Isle. She was asking him what book he was reading, but then she was looking around and she said, I've never seen Belle Isle so busy with people and families.
Really?
Families, yeah. They weren't
so barbecuing. She's saying like more busy than before the virus.
Even during the hot seasons, even during the warm seasons, yeah, before the virus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's the only breather for Detroiters.
I mean, honestly speaking, yes.
So just to say a disclaimer for our audience that there is a storm currently in Detroit, and if the electricity goes off, our broadcast will be cut off, and you know, we'll probably reschedule another one. And I hope for all of you to stay safe. We've never had tornadoes in my lifetime here, but if we do, I think the safest place is your basement, right, Hanan?
Yes, and if you don't have one, I'm sorry.
If you don't have one, don't call 911. It's the bad timing for it.
Serious
for me and Hanan did a lot of tornado drills, but that's in a different lifetime. Okay. So, Hanan, has this been inspirational for you in any way?
I think so. I think it depends on a person's stage in their life. And, you know, if you're going through a breakup, this is a bad time for you. But if you're, you know, if you're in a place like I was, where I entered the year and I was experiencing a rebirth in some way, because last year was very, very rough, and I was dealing with many responsibilities and huge projects that had been successful at the end, and they were successful by December and then early January. And so when I finished the year and I started the new one, I was just like, okay, here we go. This is my list of habits that I want to continue working on. You know, what I do is, and I learned this from Jay Shetty because I've been reading a lot of his books, I've been listening to a lot of his podcasts. And it's usually like people have an off year. It's good to have an off year where you're like studying and enriching yourself and you're learning. And then the following year is like you're executing what you learned or something that you've been working on. And so last year was sort of an execution year. And this year I'm kind of going back into the cocoon, hibernating, working on all the habits that I wanted to work on, sort of the little projects, self-improvement, self-development stuff. And so I was already in this phase, and this provided me with an opportunity to, like, you know, just fully fledge, you know, work on them, you know, and focus on them and be intentional and be. And I think one of the most important things is isolation when you're doing things like this. I've noticed, especially when you're doing self-development, you know, it's so important to be with yourself and have that time alone to reflect, to work on things that you've always wanted to work on. I mean, I'll give you a few examples. You know, I'm going on and on about this like self-development stuff, but like books is a huge one. You know, people, you know, I've always had a long list of books, and now I'm like running through my second book, which is amazing. I've always wanted to try new cooking recipes, and now I cook every other day, which is very uncommon. I usually just meal prep once a week, but now I cook every other day because I'm here and it's more convenient for me. I've been able to do more yoga because I spend more time at home. I've been able to work on my garden and work on my yard and just lay on the grass for long periods of time, you know, after work, because I don't have to run from one meeting to another. And I just had a lot of time to think and to write too. And so it's just everything that I've always wanted to do. Now I've had the time and the energy and the solace kind of to do it. So I think it's worked out in my favor. Others may disagree, but it's just that's the trajectory of my life in this current chapter. And so I think I'm very blessed.
Great. Is there something that you're looking to accomplish during this isolation that you know, usually you wouldn't otherwise?
think there are a lot of things, but honestly, it's just kind of mastering this new schedule, not just the social isolation schedule, but the schedule of really getting all of the things I want to work on or do, or habits or hobbies. So, and I feel like I have enough time to do that, and it's just about mastering it. So, you know, in one day I'll be able to sing, I'll be able to practice my guitar, I'll be able to read chapters of my book, I'll be able to water my plants and do some yard work and cook and you know, just like a little bit of everything. And I've always wanted to do that. And so I've been blessed with that opportunity. Yeah, right now.
So tell me some of your reflections on the lessons that we learned, lessons that we are learning from this pandemic. Maybe something that perhaps we even know, but we didn't really pay attention to before, but now we pay attention to it. What are some of these things?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the first things is that time is, you know, very precious, and I see a lot of people, you know, share memes and joke around about being bored a lot, and I hate that term, and I hate when people use it. I think it's like a very privileged way to like live your life and just to have time to say that you're bored. So I think a lot of young people, even older people, say that a lot, you know, I'm bored, I don't know what to do and stuff like that. But I think if anything, it exposed the privilege that exists in our lives as people with, you know, stability in their life. Through my job, I speak to residents every day that are impacted by the virus. And so maybe I don't have anyone personal to me that's been infected and you know, is my family is not necessarily struggling, but I speak to people every day, and so that kind of grounds me in that, in the sense that, wow, you know, there's a lot of, I knew that there was an inequality and that existed before, but now we really see it, and it just, I think overall it restored in a lot of ways the humanity that we lacked as like humans and as society. And so, you know, you see that there are a lot more people that are compassionate. You see a lot of intra-faith cultural dialogue happening. It's really interesting because I think it exposes a lot of what people want to hide, whether it's on a society level, on a personal level, people's true demons or like insecurities or weaknesses come out during this time. I've noticed. I haven't been sharing my reflections, but it's just really interesting to stand back and watch. Yeah.
Okay, so for our viewers who are outside of Michigan, outside, you know, of Detroit, Detroit is one of the hardest hit cities. Its death rate is more than New York. It's one of the hot spots in the world right now in terms of the. Do you have any idea? I mean, other than your official capacity, because you probably also analyze that. But what's the reason Detroit is getting hit hard?
I think it's important to acknowledge that Detroit had a lot of underlying, pre-existing public health issues for a long time. And we've been sharing our, as an office, like tweets about this, things like air pollution. You know, it's, our district has the highest polluted zip code in the state of Michigan. And so you have people there who already have lung cancer, who have already have asthma, you know, similar to the south end of Dearborn. And so that's just one example, just access to health care. Access to healthy foods, access to food. You know, there are so many deserts, food deserts in the city of Detroit. And so there are already a lot of underlying public health issues. And I'm not an expert. I only can reflect on what I see the day-to-day and the policies that are initiated downtown through city council. But also, you know, Abdul Sayed, who ran for governor, who used to be the health director of Detroit, you know, has a podcast where he dissects this completely in relation to coronavirus, but also in general as it relates to Detroit. So it's a really deep-rooted issue that again, like this virus, it just kind of like it peeled the skin of what was already beneath. And part of it, so we have underlying conditions, but as soon as it hit, you know, there wasn't enough being done to share information about it. And I think the city has been working very hard, but it just goes to show that there's a huge information gap between residents and the city. And again, there are so many, you know, it's such a large city. It's such a multicultural city. It's such a poor city. It's information sharing is very difficult. It's not like Dearborn, for example, where you can hop on the City of Dearborn page and you have 70,000 followers and you can just stay up to date on latest accidents. You know where this is located. No, like, I mean, East Side is suffering different than Southwest Side. Southwest Side is suffering different than the North End. We all have different resources and we're all kind of, right now it's about survival, and that's what we've been doing, is just being, you know.
I want to ask you, Hanan, about the Yemeni American community in the South End and also in Southwest Detroit.
Yeah.
Is it affected by this virus in a specific way? Because I know in Dearborn, the community hasn't been hit hard, thanks God, you know, with this virus. How is the community in Southwest Detroit doing?
I would say the same. It hasn't been hit hard. We have not heard many cases of the virus. We did hear of a few young people getting sick, and then the family deciding to quarantine in their homes, which is the proper procedure. But other than that, you know, fortunately, there have not been many cases. So, and I think it helped because people were warned early enough. People took it seriously, and I think, you know, yeah.
Okay. Hanan, we're going to go to some of the questions. We have the question that was added by Dr. Adnan Jaber. How are we going to remind ourselves about the lessons that we learned during this pandemic? You know, because if things go back to normal, first, let me ask you, do you think things will go back to normal?
Man, oh man, that's a good question. I would love to continue working like this. Love it. I would love to continue doing outreach in the community in person when needed, but honestly, working remotely, it's everyone's doing it. It's possible. So I would love to. I don't know if it's going to go back to normal. I think we're anticipating professionally what we've been hearing is like sometime in June or July, but honestly, the ambiguity is very real. But I think that this is the time to push our ideas forward if we strongly believe in them, you know, the idea of a 4-day work week, you know, some countries implement this policy. And I don't think that, the United States has a long way to go, but it doesn't mean we can't implement these policies in our workplaces. But you know what I've realized as well, and I'll be honest, human beings are very good at forgetting. And we know this, you know, the root word of al-insan is yinsa, right? He forgets. And I think there are a lot of lessons I've learned in my life, for example, that if I had not reflected on them and written them, and I constantly review them, then I would repeat the same experience and then learn it again as if it was the first time and say, oh, that feels like deja vu. And so I think it's our responsibility to do things like this. You know, sort of oral storytelling. This is the time for people to write in their journals, to do whatever they can in whatever form of expression they enjoy, to remember these lessons. Politically speaking, we need to be able to record these experiences and lessons as well, moving forward, to hold our government accountable as well, because the government
will be a lot of reports afterwards.
Yeah, the government will be quick to forget as well, and so. So I think it's a personal responsibility, it's a community responsibility, you know, and a larger one as well, a human responsibility.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm for sure that the healthcare system will change, and some the way we deal with emergencies, CDC, FEMA, will, these will all change permanently. If this goes longer, industries will also change. And if it goes even longer, education will change. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that will change as this matures, but also a lot of emphasis on science, because this is, like, we know this. Like, there's two things that science knows 100% as threats to humanity: the evolution of viruses and bacteria, and also the asteroids coming from the sky. I've seen lectures, you know, the 2015 TED Talk by Bill Gates. I saw it in 2015. Mm-hmm. And then there were talk by Neil deGrasse Tyson about how many asteroids have trajectory to hit Earth and or pass by it in certain years. And NASA doesn't even have the budget to even track them all. So we know that there are going to be a lot more differences for our priorities, you know. And I hope that these wars that have cooled down right now, and also the carbon footprint that has also been lowered, I hope people wake up to these things as a humanity. Next question, Hanan, from Alex Sharafuddin says, what are some of the things you are accomplishing staying at home during the pandemic? I think you've answered this partly, but if you may just mention it again.
Yeah, I mean, I've been continuing so just to backtrack, one of my goals starting in 2018 was to embody and to practice this kind of theme of, and this may be silly to some people, but for me, it's really important, the idea of slow living. And really, from the daily habits to work habits to like life, planning life out, it's just about taking everything slowly. And, you know, and I think I've been able to do that while isolating. And I think that's really important. Like, just not only just, you know, living day by day without the anxiety, without this, like, you know, work culture that forces us to get things done at a certain pace and to be something at a certain time. For me, it's just slowing down and really appreciating every activity. Whether it's reading my audiobook and raking leaves outside, or gardening, or singing. I sing every other day. That's just, you know, my form of creative expression. And yeah, just living a simple life. And so that's what I've been able to accomplish.
Awesome. We have a question from Kathy Brown from Argentina. She says, what do you think the ideal outcome of this pandemic at a personal level and at a collective level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we kind of touched on this already, but I think, again, I think it's important to strip away like the skin or whatever this is, that like the Band-Aid that we have on these like deep wounds that exist in our society, in our political systems, in our communities. And allowing them to heal. I think there needs to be a healing journey after this pandemic for everyone personally, because everyone is experiencing this very differently. Some people are freaking out, which is a very real thing. And some people are, you know, taking it day by day. But I think there needs to be a process of reflecting and pushing policies and ideas forward that are forward-thinking, that are progressive, but then also healing, because there's gonna be a need for healing as a collective. Yeah.
Great. Hanan, what's at a personal level? How do you want to come out of this differently? Like,
sorry. I want to be a butterfly. Go to my cocoon. Honestly, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I just want to continue the things that I'm doing. That is my honest answer. I have not even thought that far, and I don't want to think that far just yet, because then I kind of set some sort of expectation for myself, and then I'm under this pressure to come out a certain way, and so. Uh-huh. I think it's continuing these habits and, you know, going with the flow and adapting and like I said, so.
Yeah. So, you know, as an introvert, and there's been a lot of conversation about introvert, extrovert, reaction to this pandemic. And as an introvert, a person who, you know, just enjoys being alone, reads, likes to socialize, you know, a very limited time and with limited people, this has been, you know, befitting. And for me, you know, canceling all the sports is a bonus, you know, like, thank you very much. But as far as what are you missing? What are you deprived from right now that you feel will have an emotional toll on you as this progresses?
Like I said before, I have a very small circle. You know, I spend time with my immediate family, not even extended family. I interact with people on social media, but then I see my friends maybe once every few months because they all live far away. And so for me, it's not so much going back and spending time with people. Maybe I will miss them in a few weeks, not sure yet. But for me, it's like sort of just my way of being around people is being in their presence, but not talking to them. And so like, that's why I enjoy going to coffee shops or going to parks or going to public places where there are people, where I can just sit and do my own thing, but also people observe and enjoy humanity in its essence. But that's it. Yeah, I think which is kind of, I think people hear me, they're gonna be like, this girl's a freak, she's a lunatic.
No, but I see it as so, you've mentioned very beautiful things, being among people as an observant silently, you know, like the feeling of being in company, but not necessarily talking. Yeah. Amazing feeling. Okay. Hanan, some of our light questions. What's the last film you saw?
So many. I love films. Okay, so everyone knows about Parasite receiving all those awards at the Oscars, and it's definitely a well-deserved film. I have been rooting for Korean films and cinema for a long time, since high school, and they are incredible, and I think it's a really amazing movie. Something else I watched recently, it's a four-part series, very
what
short.
What is it called? Sorry, what is the Korean film called?
Parasite.
Parasite, oh yeah, it won an Oscar, yeah.
Many, oh, four, actually. Mm. And the other one is, what was it? Oh, it's a four-part series on Netflix. It's called Orthodox. Mm-hmm. And it's based on a true story of a young Jewish woman from a Hasidic Jewish community in Williamsburg in New York. And she runs away from her husband and goes to Berlin, where her biological mother lives, and undergoes this sort of like personal exploration evolution. And this is all the series was all the story was all in a time frame of like maybe a week or so, but it was very powerful. And as someone who's Yemeni, who grew up in a conservative community, who has traveled, it really hit home. And so I would recommend it for anyone. It's called Orthodox and it's on Netflix.
Awesome. As far as Parasite, do you have any reflections on this film? When did you see it?
I saw it. So something about me, and I think you know this from I learned it sort of from you, because you've always recommended to go on Tuesdays to AMC because there's this discounted. So I got the membership.
You got the secret.
I'm a moviegoer, like any day of the week. You know, if there's something playing at 10 p.m. and it's a really good movie, I'll go watch it. And it's a work night; it doesn't matter to me. Anyway, I went and saw it immediately after I found out that it got four Oscar awards. I didn't know anything about it. I went and saw a glimpse of the trailer, and I was like, I gotta go see this. So, nobody knows this, but I left work early, and I went and watched it within like. I think the day or two when it hit theaters in the States. So it was immediately after. And I'm a big fan of these types of movies, suspense, thriller, really like make you think and question life. And I appreciated it. And I walked away like, whoa.
Yeah. Wow,
this is real.
And it's amazing how it kind of, I never thought about that, but it kind of feels more real right now.
Yes.
It feels more real right now. Okay. Yeah, by the way, let me give you a new tip. If life goes back as normal, so I discovered that Imagine theaters have the same special. They have a $5 Tuesday movies, and their membership is free. I used to pay for the membership with the AMC. So they have a free membership, and they have $5, and they have a big theaters with reclining seats and heated seats.
Yeah.
So you have to look, but you have to look like which movie. So not all of them play in the same theater. And here's another tip: you can buy a popcorn. Uh-huh. Oh, you get free popcorn on Tuesdays for members. So they beat AMC big time.
That's huge.
You get free popcorn.
AMC has been failing for quite some time. We know this.
But... yeah. So then you get a free popcorn.
Okay.
And for $1 more, you can make it a caramel popcorn. Wow. Which is so cheap. But anyway, this is so irrelevant, right?
Everyone will appreciate the advice, right, guys?
I appreciate it in a year. All right. Or after July, hopefully. And hopefully we stay alive. You know, it would be a very interesting recording if our lives change in a way. We really appreciate being healthy while the hospitals are full right now with people. But this is how life is. Another question is song. What's the last song that you've I can't tell you what's the last song you've heard, but like, what's your song recommendation? Something different you stumbled upon?
Yes, I love this topic. I am a lover of all music, mainly R&B, indie, soul, and I have been tuning into NPR's Tiny Desk. I don't know if people are familiar with this, but there are different artists, talented artists from around the world that come on this show. It's literally just a small library in London, I believe, and they play to a small crowd. And these are like very famous, you know, talented artists. And that's how I've been exposed to a lot of new music. So I recommend, you know, I just let it go and whatever's in the queue, you know, YouTube recommends different things. And that's just how I discover new music. So everybody knows me as the, like, if they want to explore new music, people come to me and I just give them recommendations. So one of them that I've been interested in and learning more about, and she's wonderful. She's a Mexican artist. Her name is Natalia Lafourcade, I think. Yeah. And I can share it in the follow-up link. But she's on NPR Tiny Desk, but her music is just, it's, you know, it's all in Spanish, but it's really beautiful. I'm the kind of like, you can't tell already, I'm sort of, I give these like hippie vibes. And it's like romantic and deep, but also like very soulful and the instrument that they
Lafourcade?
Lafourcade, yes.
Okay. I found her.
Yes, she's wonderful. Yeah, and I, you know, there's a lot of R&B, new R&B music. There's old R&B, but there's new R&B, and it's very beautiful. So I listen to her. It's H-E-R. It's her artist name. So she is amazing. And I have... new song.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Can you hear the music? Todo lo que sucedió. Hoy saludo mi presente, gusto de estarte a Dios. Voy a navegar en tu puerto azul. All right, thank you, Hannah. Quisiera saber de dónde vienes tú. Vamos a dejar que el tiempo pare. Yeah, why not? Let's take a break with music. Nuestros recuerdos en los mares y esta soledad tan profunda.
que en el canto de las olas me quisiera sumergir. Embriagándome en su aroma, algo nuevo descubrí. Voy a navegar en tu puerto azul. Quisiera saber de dónde vienes tú. Vamos a dejar que el tiempo pare. Ver nuestros recuerdos en los mares y esta soledad tan profunda.
Okay. That was a break by recommendation of Hanan. A podcast, Hanan.
Yes, I listen to one mainly, religiously, and it's called On Purpose by Jay Shetty. So we've seen Jay Shetty's face everywhere. He's British, he's Indian British, and he's that motivational speaker. Probably seen him on your Facebook, Instagram feed. But he started this podcast a couple of years ago, and he talks to everyone about relationships, about success, about building good habits, about, you know, just really like amazing conversations. And they're not your typical like, hey, we just want to motivate you, you got this. They're very deep and human and intricate, and I don't walk away with with empty-handed. I always have a lot to think about, a lot to feel after every podcast. And so, so I love them. It's called On Purpose by Jay Shetty.
Yep, we got it. Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you. I've seen you talk about it on your blog.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Hanan's blog is hananaliyahya.wordpress.com.
It's just hananyahya.com, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to change it to the primary domain.
Yeah.
And WordPress. Sorry, I didn't teach you that in high school.
Perhaps.
Okay. The next question is, what is your book recommendation?
I actually brought this one next to me. This is the last like full book that I completed because I'm not proud of the other books that I started and did not complete. Yes, this is a book, my book. Mm-hmm. It's called Hippie. Oh, wait, right here. Hippie by Paulo Coelho. We know Paulo Coelho from The Alchemist, right? Mm-hmm. And so we know The Alchemist was an amazing book. This one, it was more of a lighter read, not as like deep and complex, and this is actually a personal story of Paulo when he was in Europe on his journey to Nepal during the hippie movement in the 70s. And so this was sort of like a self-exploration journey, exploring other cultures, sort of like a love story. I'm not super into love stories that much, but it's inevitable that when you travel and you discover pieces of yourself and you meet others, you fall into travel romances. And so part of it was a love story. And so I think that was also beautiful. I would recommend it. You know, it's, again, this phase that I'm in right now is more, I'm always in a phase of like personal exploration and self-development. And I travel often and I express myself creatively often. And so this book is really helpful, and it's a light read. So you don't have to, it doesn't really, require much except a few hours. Yeah.
All right. Did you read The Alchemist?
I did a while ago, and I actually I downloaded it again as an audiobook so I can listen to it again. It's one of those books that you have to reread every few years, and then you have a different understanding of it. And I think I'm looking forward to that again.
All right, we are getting to one of our last questions, Hanan. Actually, we have a couple more questions. This question is for Amr Zahar. He asks, what food reminds you of your childhood?
I would have to say, thanks to places like Kahwa House for highlighting it, but sabaya. Sabaya is something that I fondly remember eating and making with my mom growing up. So, yeah, we can all appreciate a slice of sabaya, right, guys?
And then before I go to the last question, I want to ask you about some of the work that you've been doing. Let me show this clip, actually, and don't be scared. All right.
Hi everyone, Hanan here.
Can you hear? Can you hear that?
Night of action for Yemen that's taking place tomorrow in downtown Detroit at Campus Park from 7 to 9 p.m. in the evening. Really calling on all of my colleagues, my friends, acquaintances, everyone in the community to show up and show solidarity to the people of Yemen. We are really for ending the U.S. participation in the war, for ending the blockade, and really ending or helping to end the world's worst humanitarian crisis on the people of Yemen taking place as we speak. So please show up. There will be a couple of youth performances, spoken word artists, and a rap performer.
So tell me about that effort. Where is it now? First of all, how does it, how did this affect the war in Yemen?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you bring it up because it's it plays a huge role in my life. And so we know that the war in Yemen has been taking place since, it's been 5 years, it's entering its sixth. And we know that the U.S. has a huge role in supporting the war and benefiting monetarily from it. And so that is why we called on everyone to join the protest. And I'm a member of the Yemeni Alliance Committee, and this is kind of just a coalition of activists and members from across the U.S. that fight for human rights overall, but really pushing the voices of Yemenis forward and elevating their challenges. And so it was born out of the Muslim ban. And, you know, Yemen was on the list of the Muslim ban, and it kind of redeveloped and changed into an advocacy group. And so it was a night of action that we were doing in solidarity with different groups across the U.S. And this one was in downtown. I've never organized a protest before, so that was my first one. And that video was in a mocha bistro while we were making the signs for the event. And I would say it was overall very successful. I mean, we had maybe close to 100 people show up, which is great for a first time event in Detroit. And what we were trying to do is just let people know that this is happening. A lot of people don't know that there is a war. And we wanted the media to be there. We wanted people to listen. Congresswoman Rashida was there. She said a few words about her work. And currently where it is, the last successful win of this fight had been with when Senator Bernie Sanders was able to rally up troops with other congressmen and pass the War Powers Act, which basically says that Congress needs to be in charge of approving whether we go to war or not, and the president cannot just send the U.S. to war. And we're right now in an illegal, unconstitutional war. That's just the reality of it. People don't know it, but that's where we are, and our tax dollars are going there. And so right now we are continuously advocating, we're elevating the voices of Yemenis. We really just want all parties to be held accountable for their role to play in Yemen. And it boggles my mind that it has not settled in yet that this is the world's, you know, worst humanitarian crisis. And, you know, when you're a poor brown and country in the Middle East, you know, no one really cares about you unless you have something to offer. And so, yeah, it has, right now it's highly vulnerable to the coronavirus. People are doing a lot of work trying to spread awareness and give people the proper tools to prepare for an outbreak. But if it would hit Yemen, which alhamdulillah, nothing has happened yet, but if it would, it would destroy whatever hope and, you know, health there was anyway before this. So it's very serious. It's very real. We have a role to play, and I'm just playing my role, which is holding our U.S. government accountable. That's basically it.
Thank you, Hanan. I mean, from a country that is suffering altogether again from the cholera, you know, to
which is a preventative disease, right?
Right, and all this crisis is a human made. Now the whole humanity is tasting the situation that Yemenis are suffering from that is a human made. So I hope that this wakes our conscience up for the children of Yemen who's been suffering. Any suffering is every time, you know, like when, you know, the Holocaust happened, the world said never again. And then, you know, things kept happening afterwards. When Rwanda happened, you know, at the time of Clinton, they said, oh, never again. We should just prevent genocide. And now, you know, there is a million Chinese Muslims in the prisons and, the thing in Neymar and, you know, the war on Yemen. You know, it just seems like humanity is ruthless when it comes to repeating their own barbarism on themselves. I hope this is a wake-up call for all of us that, you know, we really are in this together, like the title of this show. Hanan Yahya, I want to end with this question by Mr. Hadi Dibak, the artist from New York. What is the last epiphany or aha moment that you had that you would like to share with us?
That is a good one. I have many aha moments often. I think the one that comes to mind immediately is, I remember this constantly, it's that I don't know anything. I always reach this kind of epiphany every now and then where I'm just like, I really don't know much. It's not a very optimistic, like self, you know, boastful, epiphany, but it's a very real and human one. Yeah, I don't know much. So that has been one, for me. Although I have a lot of them, I can't think of them right now.
Yeah. And speaking from Rhode Island scholarship recipient and President Reagan's scholarship recipient, this means a lot. So I hope that this is a point for all our listeners that the journey of life, the more knowledge we get, the more ignorant of ourselves we think or we discover. Hanan, the last part of this show usually is you asking a question, answering it, and it becomes a part of the habit of this show to ask this question for all our guests. It doesn't have to be something deep or, you know.
I mean, something I've been talking a lot with my small circle of friends, and I mean, we've touched on this in our conversation already, but you know, I want to ask listeners, and I want to remind people to always ask themselves, how am I healing? And how am I developing myself? And so it's just a good reminder to think about.
Okay, and you can answer this question. How are you developing yourself?
Ooh, didn't know that you're gonna turn the tables. I think I'm developing myself by constantly healing, and I'm constantly learning about myself. And so self-awareness is a very up and coming topic that a lot of people are practicing in the workplace and for professional development purposes. And that is definitely one way I'm focusing on learning it, but also just on a human level, and like, who am I? Who is Hannah? you know, what are her strengths? What are her weaknesses? What are her traumas? What are her happy memories? And it's kind of being my own therapist. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking care of one's mental health. And we all need healing, and we all need to learn, no matter who you think you are, how great you are, how smart, how successful, how stable, how rich. Everyone needs to experience this in order to truly connect to their inner purpose, their inner self, you know, be at peace. I think that has been a goal of mine for this time period, just be at peace.
Hanan, Yahya, thank you very much for being with us, and we are in this together. I know that you haven't been writing your reflections, and you haven't been on TV, and that you hesitated, but you answered my call. Thank you for being a guest on our show. We have enjoyed and benefited from it greatly.
Thank you.
Stay safe. I hope your father gets better.
Thank you.
And I hope that we will see you face to face soon after this is all over. And
yes.
So then, enjoy your books and your bike, and have a great night.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.